For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, A Loving Relationship with God, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
There are still those today who are perverting the good news of Jesus Christ by again placing man under certain legal obligations or legal restraints, imposing upon man their rules, their regulations, their standards for holiness. That is not a gospel. If you give me a list of rules that I must abide by in order to be spiritual, that is not a gospel. I lived for years in a legalistic relationship with God, trying to follow the rules, trying to follow the regulations, signing the pledge. Annually, we had a pledge signing as we committed ourselves to these rules. I will not do this and that and the other thing. And I had a legal relationship with God that I had all kinds of problems with. Because though I had signed the pledge, many times I did not keep the pledge that I had signed. And so I felt doubly guilty. But then I came into the knowledge of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And rather than a legal relationship with God, I developed a loving relationship with God. And I've been happy ever since. How I love this relationship I have. Oh, you say, you then do anything you want, huh? Well, yes, I do. But I just don't want to do a lot of things anymore, you see. I really live a more strict life now in this loving relationship with God than I did with the legal relationship with God. You see, there's something perverse about me and about rules. I don't like rules. And if I walk by a sign that says, don't touch, I'll touch it. Don't walk on the grass. I'll step on it. I just don't like rules. And there's something within me that sort of rebels against rules. I like this loving relationship I have with God. And I don't walk on the grass. And I don't touch. Not because I can't. I don't want to. If it doesn't please the Father, I don't want to do it. And so this loving relationship is so far superior to the legal relationship with God. And so this gospel that they were proclaiming and that they were trying to put the people into a legal relationship with God, Paul said, is not really another gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. And though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong language. Let him be anathema. If any man would preach another gospel, even if an angel of heaven would come and preach another gospel, even if Moroni would come and say, you've got to wear a certain kind of underwear in order to be righteous. And you must go through the temple rites. And you must continue to be a faithful Mormon if you are to be saved. You see, that's adding to the salvation through the grace of God offered to us through Jesus Christ. It's putting the burden back on you. I asked a young man one day who came up to me, and I'm sure that he had been in a Sunday school class of mine years ago, and he came up to me and said, "Chuck, I'm no longer a Christian, now I'm a Mormon." Now, I'm sure that he wasn't schooled enough in the Mormon techniques at that point that he would say something like that, because now they seek to identify themselves as Christians. But he said, "I'm a Mormon." I said, "Oh, what a shame." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I mean just what you said. I think it would be a shame if a person ceased being a Christian and started being a Mormon." I said, "But as a Mormon, tell me, Jerry, what is the base for your hope of eternal life?" And he said, "My faith in Jesus Christ and continued membership in the Mormon church." I said, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, you went one step too far. If the basis of your hope for eternal life is your faith in Jesus Christ, I can shake hands with you and say, great, Jerry, continue. But the moment you add anything to that, then it's another gospel. And even if an angel of heaven has declared another gospel that would add something more than your faith in Jesus Christ as your hope for eternal life, then it is not a gospel. And so let them be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. Paul said, "I'm not really seeking to win a popularity contest among men. I'm seeking to please God. And I could give up this fight. I could give in to the legalism. But if I did, I would not be a servant of God." Thank God Paul stuck by his guns. Boy, our church today would be something vastly different if Paul had not stuck by his guns. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, because I did not receive it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So this gospel of grace is a revelation of Jesus Christ unto Paul. Now, I am certain that God chose Paul and ordained Paul, even as he said from his mother's womb, that he should be the carrier of this gospel of grace, because he was perfectly fitted by God for this task. You see, if you do not follow something to its end, then you always think, "Well, my failure was not following it to its end. Had I followed it to the nth degree, then I would have found the satisfaction." And so I look at myself and I say, the failure lies in me. I didn't follow it completely enough. It is an interesting observation that I have made concerning those who are Buddhist. When a person tells me, "Well, I'm a Buddhist," I usually ask them, "Well, have you achieved then the perfection and that complete peace in Buddhism?" And they will always respond by saying, "I am working towards it." Never have I found one who has claimed to achieved. They're always working towards it. It's always this carrot out here at the end of the stick. "I'm still working. I hope, you know, if I keep trying, if I work a little harder, I might achieve, I might attain, I might find the peace and satisfaction. I'm working towards it. Paul the Apostle had followed the law of God circumspectly. He had followed it down all the way. He writes concerning himself that as far as the righteousness which is of the law is concerned, I was blameless. And so Paul speaks of his zeal above his own peers. His zeal for the law, his zeal for God according to the law and all, was above those around him. And yet Paul found himself zealously following the law, still empty and frustrated, and he did not find the fulfillment. And that is why when he came to the glorious knowledge of Jesus Christ, he was so transformed, because he had followed the law all the way as far as you could and didn't find the peace. Now, Peter could not really be the emissary of grace because Peter had not really followed the law that circumspectly, you see. And so Peter would think, well, if I'd only followed the law, I might have achieved, I might have attained, you know. And so Paul was specially prepared of God to receive this gospel of grace, and it came to Paul by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. He did not learn this in the church in Jerusalem or from the apostles or those brethren there. Taught to him by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Hey, I was at the top of the class. I went all the way. I went all out for the law and for Judaism. Above my equals, more exceedingly zealous. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, and there had that complete 180-degree turn from persecuting Jesus to following Jesus. Such a revolution, total revolution. Paul did not then look up the Christian brothers to learn all about it. But he went out into the desert and spent several years out in the deserts of Saudi Arabia, just waiting upon God and receiving the revelation directly from Jesus of the gospel according to grace. So this is not Paul's gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ delivered to Paul, who in turn has delivered it to us. This is the truth of Christ. The salvation that is offered now unto you through your faith in him. I did not confer with flesh and blood. I did not go up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and then I returned to Damascus. I didn't even return to Jerusalem. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So he didn't get back to Jerusalem until about 6.5-7 years after his conversion. He had gone from Jerusalem to Damascus to imprison the Christians, those that called upon God. He was met by Christ on the road, so that when he got to Damascus, he was a changed man. He ministered to the Christians that were there, but realized that he needed to know more and went out into the deserts of Arabia and waited upon Jesus, where he received the glorious revelation for 3.5 years, returned then to Damascus, stayed there, and now taught them for 3 years. And then finally came to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. But of the other apostles, he didn't see any of them except James, the brother of the Lord. This is the James who authored the Epistle of James. This is the James who became one of the leaders in the early church. This is not James, the brother of John, the fisherman. He was beheaded before Paul got there. This is James, the brother of Jesus Christ, mentioned in Mark's gospel, and Paul here identifies him. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So Paul went from Damascus 7 years after his conversion, and then went on back to Tarsus, where he was born. And he went back to making tents. I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they only heard that the one who had persecuted us in times past is now preaching the faith, and they glorified God in me. So Paul did not really have any close contact with the church in Jerusalem. In fact, the church in Jerusalem was a little fearful of Paul. They didn't know but what he was a KGB agent. And thus, they were really reluctant to receive Paul into fellowship. So Paul is emphasizing the fact that his gospel is not something that was passed on to him by the apostles or by any man. It was something that came to him through the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Then, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also. So Paul no doubt had been ministering in Syria and Cilicia, the area around Tarsus, his home city, his hometown, and there have been Gentiles that he had brought to the faith of Jesus Christ, Titus being one of them. Now Barnabas, one of the brethren in the church there in Jerusalem, decided to go to Tarsus because there was a work of God being accomplished in Antioch, and there were a lot of Gentiles being saved, and having heard of Paul, he decided to go get Paul to help in the church in Antioch. And so he went to Tarsus, searched out Paul, and invited Paul to come back and to become a minister there at Antioch. And he brought Paul to Jerusalem in order to sort of mend things with the apostles, to show them the truth of Paul's faith. And he said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I was preaching among the Gentiles. But I communicated it to them privately, those that were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, he didn't really proclaim it openly to the church in Jerusalem, because the church in Jerusalem was made up of a lot of former Pharisees and a lot of Jews who were still following the traditions of the law and who were still very observant in many aspects to the law. Jews who believed still that you could not be a Christian if you were a Gentile. Jews that still held to the fact that the only way you could be saved was by believing in Jesus Christ and then keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised. That was the basic mindset of the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul communicated in private to the apostles the gospel that he had been preaching, this gospel of grace, But Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was not compelled to be circumcised. They tried to encourage it and all, but Paul withstood it. For their teaching was, hey, you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so Titus was not compelled, as Paul withstood them, that because of false brethren, unawares, who were brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for a minute, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So Paul was standing up for you Gentiles. Paul was standing up for the gospel that has been proclaimed to you, that you don't have to become a Jew, that you don't have to keep the law of Moses. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Put your trust in him and God will do his work in your life and transform you by the power of the Spirit. And what you can't do for yourself, God will do for you. That salvation is God's gift through your faith in Jesus. And so Paul had this conflict, but he would not give in. He would not surrender to the pressures of the apostles there in Jerusalem, not for a moment.
Imagine studying the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse with Pastor Chuck Smith as your guide. Now you can. For more than 60 years, Pastor Chuck faithfully taught the Word of God with clarity, depth, and a heart full of grace. And now his complete Bible teachings, digitally remastered, are available in the powerful C3000 edition, recorded live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, from 1985 to 1999. This incredible collection includes 634 audio messages covering the entire Bible, packed with insights on Hebrew and Greek word origins, historical timelines, archaeological discoveries, church history, biblical backgrounds and introductions, practical applications for everyday life, and a wealth of solid biblical commentary. All 634 messages come as MP3 audio on a reusable 16-gigabyte flash drive, your portable library for deep, meaningful Bible study anywhere, anytime. Order your C3000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The C3000 edition, the entire Bible. One teacher, unlimited growth. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful week, and may his words sustain you as you walk with him in fellowship. May God really begin a powerful work in your life. May the Spirit of the Lord just really rest heavy upon you. And may you really have a chance to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone else this week. May God make you effective in your witness for him. May your life be like a light shining in a dark place, that others might be drawn to that light and find the source of the light, even Jesus. So God bless you and give you a rich week in fellowship with him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians 1 through 2.
Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.